Yes, to moms, moms. God is good. Can I have an amen on that?
Amen.
No, we certainly want to give a tribute to all the moms. That's what this is going to be. Men, you may not like this service, but we don't care because this is for the women. One of the most popular attended services in the year. We know it's Christmas and Easter, but it's also Mother's Day. Guess what the least attended weekend of the year is? Father's Day. And because moms, they want to get up in the house of God. Can I have an amen on that? One lady was in the kitchen with her little girl. I was reading about this week. And her little girl said, little bitty girl, she said, "Mommy, looks like you're getting more and more white hairs. What's going on?" She said, because the girl was bad that week, evidently. She said, "Yes, every time you're bad and every time you make me cry, I grow out one more white hair." She said, "Oh, is that why Grandma has..." Y'all can finish that. I was thinking about my son, Hunter, today. Specifically, my wife. And I wrote this about the first experience when we brought home a child. Right around 23 years ago, summer, we put our brand new firstborn child in the back seat of our little Toyota Corolla and took him home from the hospital. We had a car seat. It was in the back seat. We put him in that car seat. He was wedged into the back seat with gifts from friends. I'll never forget, stacked in there from these gifts from friends that came to visit us in the hospital. I could not get over how fragile that little life was in that back seat. So I drove very conservatively down Airline Highway, which is extremely unusual for me, going about 25 miles an hour down the slow lane. And I was driving like there was nitroglycerin in the back seat because of this amazing, fragile little life. I remember this well. And when we got home, we took him inside and we laid him in the crib. And I had a few moments close to the term panic over this one thought, like, what do we do now? We have this human life and now we're in charge. And I was somehow fully aware that I could mess up this life. Then I remembered seeing it. I remembered seeing this calling, this purpose, this artwork across the room. It was coming together right there in my home. It wasn't there at any other point in my marriage. But now it was there. It was motherhood. It was my wife becoming her purpose right before my eyes. It was so powerful to see this wife, the one I love, powerful as a mom. I thank God that the lady that I love had this intuitive heart for my children. And I want to give a tribute to the moms that are here who fed us, clothed us, soothed us, doctored us, and sometimes spanked us, who put up with us during times of difficulty, who chauffeured us, who picked up clothes, who cleaned our rooms and made our beds because we were too tired or too busy. I want to honor moms that made a sack lunch every day with stuff we liked. I want to honor the mothers that sacrificed to give when they were the ones in need, who spent when they were the ones who needed someone spending on them. I want to honor mothers who cooked when they were burnt out, who cleaned when they were cleaned out, who washed when they were washed out, who ironed when they were ironed out. I want to honor moms who stayed awake all night when we were sick. And in the middle of the night, sometimes they would come into our room just to peek at our faces to see if we were okay. I want to honor mothers who cried through the night because we were disobedient or because we got off track. I just prayed for one of those moms just now. because of the kids were in trouble and they were just seeking after the Lord because we were in trouble, and not only in trouble, but we were showing the lack of respect. I want to honor mothers who felt unfruitful and unappreciated and unbecoming and unfinished and uncertain, even at times invisible and unknown. For God knows you, women. And God knows the sacrifice that you have given. And your love and your faithfulness and your virtues. As the scripture says, can one find just one noble woman? I say yes. And I also say that Kevin Durant got it right last year when he received the MVP, most valuable player. He gave his speech. He was phenomenal last year. But at the end of his speech, after he had given all the accolades, he turned to his mom and he said, "You are the reason, Mom. And the MVP cannot go to me, Mom. It's got to go to you because you are the most valuable player." Let's give it up for all the moms that are in this house. The most valuable player, there's no doubt about it. And they never get over being a mom. Doesn't matter how old they get. Still to this day, my mom, she calls me her little Ricky boy. Should have never told the church that. I go to her home, she sits by me, she cooks for me, she puts her hand in my head, and she massages my head. It's so wonderful. Dads don't love you like that. I go to my mom's house, she gives me the remote as soon as I walk in. My dad ain't gonna give me nothing in the remote. They give nicknames. My wife, she's given a nickname for every one of my kids. She calls Hunter Huntman. She calls Haley, Haley Bailey. She calls Tanner, Tanny. She calls Grace, G. Okay, not the most creative one. I just call my kids, "Hey, kids, come over here." A mom has that nurturing side. My mom. You know, my mom is, she's just an amazing person. I was thinking one day, it was about a year ago, I was thinking, gosh, I have so many people that love me. I'm just blessed that way. Maybe you feel loved, maybe you don't. I hope that you get to experience seasons of love. And I was just being very grateful for the times that, just through the many years that I've been loved. And I thought, man, my wife loves me. That's good. That's a real good. My kids seem to love me. Who knows for sure? My friends, they certainly act like they love me. I'm sure they do. But I tell you, no one loves me like my mom. You know, I don't know if she's the greatest mom ever, but I know for sure she's the greatest mom for me. She was amazing. And I don't know how much longer she's going to live. Maybe 50 years. Maybe 25. She's 75 now. Would love it to be 50. But you know what? She may go be with the Lord soon. But when she dies, she leaves behind her great honor. Incredible influence. It's all about others, not about her. My mom doesn't even really like people that she can't give to. She's going to leave behind her a legacy. And I love my mom. I feel sorry for my mom because all the heartache, all the disappointment, all the trouble my brother caused through the year. It's just amazing to see a mom. If evolution was true, then why does a mom just have two hands? It's like their job is never done. And just about the time a mother's work is done, she becomes a grandmother. So I'm going to go to the Word, and I want to teach you about three ladies. One, it's the lady, her name is Jochebed. Maybe you know who she is, maybe you don't. We'll talk about Jochebed. There's another lady that you probably heard about. Her name is Hannah. We're going to talk about Hannah. And then this third lady in the Bible, her name is Sarah. But let me be clear. Every woman is unique. This video that I want to show you is not a video that we put together, which is commonly how we would do it. I think my wife found it. Maybe someone in creative found it and showed it to her. But I know she showed it to me, and she was just crying. It was like it touched her because she realized, wow, man, I'm unique. And my kids know I'm different than every other female in the world. So here's a part of the tribute to the ladies. Check out this video. It's powerful. She showed me that. First thing I thought, you know, why is everybody so pretty? Where's all the ugly people? There's beautiful people. And I was thinking, you know, that really didn't move me. But Michelle, and then you can see the face of the women of the watching their kid like, please don't think that's your mom. Please don't think that's your mom. Please. The uniqueness of a woman. Jochebed. If she was sitting in front of us, standing in front of us, speaking to us, what could she teach us? Is there anything we could learn from her? Jochebed, she was a behind-the-scenes lady, but she ended slavery, technically speaking. Here's a lesson that I think she would talk about ultimately. She would say, be fueled by the calling of God on your child. On your child. Now, let me just say, I am not trying to say that as a woman, you do not have a calling for your own life. That is certainly not the road I'm going to go down. But through it all, even though you may be busy and accomplishing things, and people may want to be around you just to learn from you, to sit at your feet, do not forget about the calling that is on your child. Can I have an amen? This lady, Pharaoh, made a decree that they were going to kill all the babies, the boys. In Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, which another way to say it is that he was a good-looking child. Every mom thinks this about their child. I remember Michelle going, oh, our kids are just so good. I said, babe, how do we know? They might be ugly as sin. You just don't know. She hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a Peribus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. And then Pharaoh's daughter, this is the daughter of the one who, the reason why all this is happening, she went down to see or to the Nile to bathe. And her attendants were walking along the riverbank, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. And she opened it and saw the baby, and he was crying. She felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Okay, Jochebed. Let me just talk about Jochebed just for a minute. Jochebed is a behind-the-scenes lady, sort of a powerful but an invisible mom. Some of the ladies that are here right now, some of the people that are here, this applies to everyone. There are seasons in your life where you feel like no one sees you, that you are not really making a difference. There's ebb and flow in this with everyone. I deal with this, and so do you, where the enemy comes in and says, "You are really not making a difference." This is where she could have been. And in fact, she's only mentioned a few times in Scripture. And in Exodus chapter 2, the Exodus that we were just reading from, she was not even mentioned by name once. But who is this lady? On the count of three, I want you to all say her son's name. One, two, three. Moses. Behind the scenes, not even mentioned but a few times, but her son, he wrote the first five books of the Bible. When you see the purpose of your kids, you just never know where they're going to turn out. She was a woman of slavery, but yet she put an end to slavery. She took Pharaoh on face to face in a way, even though she didn't directly get around him, she beat him because her influence ended slavery during those days. And what I like the most about this is that it was because she just spent time with the Lord, spending time in prayer. And again, a few times in Scripture, but Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. And in Deuteronomy 34:12, look what it said about her son, who this almost didn't happen. It was about the third month that all of a sudden she realized, "Hey, I gotta let this kid go." And it was interesting enough, it's about the third month that a child starts teething. I don't think it has anything to do with it, but she just kind of lets him go. What happens at that time? Well, he's rescued, and then he spends about 40 years, many, many years later, ends up committing murder. He killed an Egyptian with a knife. He's mad about the same things that God is mad about. He ends up 40 years on the backside of the desert. God is getting him ready. Ready for what? For what Jochebed dreamt about. All of a sudden, this guy becomes a leader, ends up writing the Bible, first five books. And in Deuteronomy, it says, "No one has ever shown the mighty power or performance that this man did. No one ever performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel." Now, very interesting to me, Moses wrote those words about himself. However, it had to have been true, or it would have never made the cut in the Word of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. This girl, this woman, this mom, she changed the world from that invisible place. Number two, Hannah. Hannah would probably look at us and say, "Don't forget to have a passion for God," because it can overcome great discouragement. She went through a major season of discouragement. And I just want to show, how many people, let's go with everyone, how many people in this room you have gone through a major season in your lifetime? A major season in your lifetime of major discouragement. Raise your hand if it's ever happened. When you're there, I've only been depressed once in my life. And I'm not talking specifically about depression, but I'm going to go there for a second. I was depressed one day. I got up. I was in India. And I was on a mission trip. This was about 15 years ago, maybe closer to 20. And I got up one day. And when I got up, we were standing like a dungeon. There was iguanas on the walls, rats on the floor. We were being eaten by these bugs, bed bugs and mosquitoes, and it was hot. And I got up that morning, and I remember I was depressed. And here's what I thought. I thought, I am not only depressed, but I think I'm going to always be depressed for the rest of my life. I really thought this was just the new me. I didn't know it was going to leave the next day. Some people go through decades of stuff like this. But when you're discouraged, what do you do? Hannah was discouraged. She wanted a child as much as any woman that had ever lived. She wanted a baby, and not only did she want a baby, but her rival, the person that had the most friction with her, was having babies like crazy, like every time she blinked, popped out another baby. We got ladies in this church who are like, they're pregnant while they're still pregnant. It's like the doctor says, okay, it's a boy. Congratulations. You're pregnant. I mean, this is what was happening to her rival. And she just was so discouraged. So Hannah, when she was hurting, she went to the church, to the temple. She goes there. It happened to be the Jewish festival at the time. This is the time where, this is similar to your world, like all the excitements that are happening. Events, places to drop off your kids, places to go. It was like the party of parties. You don't miss this thing. This is what the world is saying. You just can't miss. That's why we put our kids in so many things and we're involved in so many things. And what happens is at some point we have no time to go to the temple. Not this girl. She went there. She's seeking the Lord so aggressively that Eli, the priest, looks over and says, you're drunk, aren't you? You've been hanging out with Miss Smirnoff. That's what you've been doing. And she goes, no, no, no. I'm in here seeking the Spirit of God. This is what she was saying, paraphrased 1 Samuel. She prayed, Lord, if you let me have a child, I'll give him back to you. In all of his days, I will teach him your ways. And she's just praying this over and over and over again. Let me just say, the happiest moms that I know, and if you've missed this, you don't have to be heavy in your heart, because this is not a time to look back. But the happiest women that I know are women who, they cannot wait to get to the presence of God, to the church. It was at Easter time, and it was like the busiest mom that I know was doing all these rehearsals. Some of you go to Easter and you think, wow, they do. We end up doing, if you count all the campuses, it's 30-something, close to 40 services. But the team that is here, they travel back and forth to the Little Rock. And they're doing a lot of service, but they have an equal amount, almost, I don't know for sure, amount of rehearsals. And these are busy people. One lady, full-time job. And is singing up here, holding a baby. While she's doing rehearsal and I'm watching this and her older child's running around happy and visiting with everybody. And I thought, this is the way, raising them around the presence of God. Like, if I can just get to the temple, if I could just get around the presence of God, this is what she was like. Because we have to be refueled. Can I have an amen? And in the early church, God designed it. He said, look, Jesus said before the early church came around, he warned us. He said, whoever finds their life will lose life. If you're going out trying to find it, but if you're willing to lay down your life and lose your life for my sake, that's when you're going to find it, when you lay it down for me. We go everywhere trying to be refueled. Oh, have you ever been in a place that's happened to me? It's like, I'm so tired. I just need a vacation. And I go on vacation, I come back, I'm more tired. I just need a nap or whatever, and you're more tired. Let me just speak to you for a second, just for a little bit, just pastor you. A lot of the times, if not most of the time, it's not all the time. What we need is the refueling of the Holy Spirit. Early church, they were filled with the Spirit of God, continually filled with the Spirit of God, refilled with the Spirit of God. It's around the presence of God. I'll give you an illustration. How many of you, when you drive your car around, if it gets to a half tank, you have to go and get gas. You don't want it to get much lower than that. Raise your hand if that's you. Look at all the psychopaths coming to church. Okay, how many of you, it's more like quarter of a tank, gets a little bit low. How many of you wait until the light is on? Put your hands down. I'm not through talking. You don't know what I'm getting ready to say. And you wait until the light is on and you know exactly how, after the light comes on, you know you have a certain amount of time plus 2 more miles. How many live like that? And that's me. Why? Because I don't want to pay the cost of refueling. It's time. I want to get to where I'm going. It costs a lot of money to fill up a tank. When I was younger, when I first started driving, I could fill my whole car up for $5. What up with that? Now, you're filling up the whole time, and you're thinking, hope my kids get scholarships. What happens is, in the spirit, this is what we do. They get a little low, half tank. They just realize, hey, I'm running on fumes here. The Spirit of God doesn't want our cup just to be full, but to run over. Some, we just wait until the very, like the last drop. So, okay, yeah, I'm going to go get me some of the Lord. And the Lord is saying, no, I don't want you to live in that place. I want you to be full. And the Bible says it's times of refreshing can be there for you. Number 3, a lesson from Sarah. Sarah would say, she could say, pay the full price. Pay the full price. Look, Sarah is unlike Jochebed. Let me explain this to you. Could you look here just for a minute? Don't be distracted. Jochebed is mentioned just a few times in Scripture. Sarah, she's talked about more than any other woman in the Bible. In fact, she's even mentioned in the Hall of Fame. Where's the Hall of Fame? Hebrews 11. She's there. Boom. Sarah, what did Sarah have? Let me tell you, Sarah was tough. God, how many women are just willing to, I want you to go to a land, kind of a dangerous land, but I'm telling you, it's a promised land. You just go. Yes, sir. She had a baby at 100 years of age. What? You imagine the Lord showed up, go to Babies R Us. Stop. She didn't hesitate. Sarah, though, what you may not know is that Sarah did make some mistakes. But through it all, she just got tough. A woman of God, they're tough as nails. Can I have an amen? Did you see that mom in Baltimore? You get your back over there. I love that lady. How about the women in Arkansas? Shoot, they will whoop you and they will shoot you. My mom, she was tough, man. I'd bring a girl home she didn't like. She'd pull me aside. She wouldn't embarrass the girl. I was like, get her out of here. Not that girl, no. One time I sassed my mom. It was kind of foggy after that. All I remember is her standing over me, pointing at me. I think I saw Jesus riding on a white horse. These women, these godly women are tough. In the Bible, Genesis 23, Sarah dies. And Abraham, just a lot happened from that family. And Abraham, very interesting. He's in this area, it's called the land of the Hittites. And the way they would deal with people there is that they would, when they died, they would bury them, but it was a scam. They would put them in these tombs, and then as soon as the people were gone, they would kind of take the body out and throw it away and then resell the tomb. And just throw the bones out like there were nothing. And Abraham, he goes over to them, it's kind of a little more sophisticated than I'm explaining it, but he said, not going to happen. I'll tell you that right now. So he pays a premium price. And if you read through it, you can just tell that this is what he wants. Could you look here for a minute? He wants Sarah to be remembered. He wants all the things he learned from her, the children learned from her, to not be dropped. I get that. Today, my daughter, Haley Bazette, graduated from Wichita Baptist University. And I was so proud to be there. And they said, don't yell. And everybody was trying to listen to that, but not me. Like, whoa, why? That's my girl. What's up? Everybody said, that's Rick Bazette. He needs to shut up. But my point is, we got home. There was a big celebration at my home. And in the middle of it all, I started seeing my wife moving around with her daughters, probably Katie and others. And she was looking for something. So that Grace comes over to me. I'm talking to this family member there. Grace comes over and said, Dad, when you recorded Mom earlier, can you play that back? We want to see. And what had happened is, her mom died about 3 years ago. And she left her wedding ring to her. And inside the wedding ring was a diamond ring. Michelle still had the ring on, but the diamond was missing. And my wife was there. I could just tell. So I'm trying to minister to her. But then I asked the stupid question. I said, a typical man, how much was that? How much was that diamond? And she looked at me like I was the Antichrist. She said, it's not how much it's worth. It's whose ring it was. For 50 years, my mom wore this ring. And I'm looking around for it. And my wife didn't want to look much because she had her daughter who just graduated, and she wanted to make sure she was taken care of, not her own needs. It's just the remarkable spirit of a mom. For years, I taught, you know, to have kids that are godly, you got to have a man of God in that house. Let me tell you, it's the woman of God. I'm not degrading the man, because we got some wimps for men. Can I have an amen? But I'm saying there's something about the nurturing, caring spirit of a woman, of a mom. And I'm watching my wife go through all that. This is what Abraham didn't want. He didn't want, when you love somebody, you don't want them to be forgotten. What's the best way to tribute your mom? Find the good qualities. Forget about the bad qualities. Try to learn from them. Has my mom ever made mistakes? Yes. Have I listed them today? No. Because that's God's daughter. And my wife is God's daughter. I don't need a better wife. I need to be more like Christ. And this is what the Spirit of God is working on in all of us. Can I have an amen?